Hello and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
Hello.
Welcome back, one and all. As mentioned last week, we are unfortunately back to talking about another isekai, but this isekai doesn't really focus on being an isekai, at least not for the first episode. Today we are talking about The Dungeon of Black Company. It is a show based on a manga. It's a comedy fantasy with that slash isekai thrown in there, and it's 12 episodes long. It has been produced by Silverlink, who have worked on shows such as The Misfit of the Demon King's Academy, Wise Man's Grandson, and My Next Life as a Villainous, All Roots Lead to Doom. This one, as I mentioned, is an isekai, but it's very, doesn't mess around. It spends like maybe a minute making you aware of the fact that it is an isekai, and then it just gets straight in. Essentially, we're introduced to our main character, who is referred to as like the ultimate neat or something, but basically they through property management and stocks manage to get themselves a pretty cushy position in that they don't have to work because they're just basically living off of all the property they own. They are essentially like that, you know, that landlord that you hate who owns like everything and doesn't do anything, but hey, whatever, he's done well for himself. And whilst he's boasting in his underwear, he suddenly just gets teleported to another world. And it's as simple as that, then gets put into a very very bad position working at a mining company, where he's forced to work unreasonable hours to, well, keep up production and capitalism and all that joy. Hence the title using the term Black Company, which refers to a company working their staff basically to death. And yeah, he's looking for a way out. He's going to try and use whatever schemes he has, and that's where the hijinks starts.
He wasn't, like, summoned or killed or anything, just random portal teleported him.
Yeah, he literally just falls, like, a portal just opens whilst he's boasting, and he just falls. And then he just falls into, like, a fountain, and it just cuts to then him being in, like, a company meeting where they're like, you should work harder, you should like break your back for this company, and we get a very quick explanation explaining that like this fantasy world used to use dungeons for like, you know, the typical fantasy like dungeon crawling, get the loot, yeah, but then like the industrial revolution happened and they were like, wait a minute, we can mine the dungeons and make way more money, and so that's where they're at.
I think it's class, that whole that concept. Not the isekai bit, obviously, you know me. But that bit where they're just kind of like, why are we fighting these things when we could just simply mine? Genius. Why has no one ever thought of this?
I don't think I've ever seen an isekai where it's a fairly modern setting. As you say, it's a fantasy world, but they've had an industrial revolution. They have machines, they have telephones.
Yeah, like it looks like he's just working on a construction site in Japan. Just happened to be like random fantasy creatures there with him.
The whole thing's very bizarre. But it's like you say, like it's not really an isekai, is it? Like it's just he gets isekai's, and then he gets mentioned a lot, but it's mentioned in the really funny way where it's like he's mentioned a lot because he's just constantly voicing how unhappy he is with the situation. But, like, isn't the whole, from what I gather, the whole point of it is that, like, he was able to become someone who just sits around while other people are making money, and now he's fuming because he has to make people who sit around trying to, like, get people on his side, and it's like, and everyone's kind of like, what do you mean? This is how it works, man. And he's like, no.
Yeah, he's because he's, like, now surrounded by people who are, like, they don't know. It sounds weird saying they don't know what it's like at the top. When he talks about rising to the top, they're like, what are you on about? Whereas obviously like he wants to be back in that position. But the funny thing is though, is like he's gone from not having to work. Like by all accounts, he's not a bad worker.
He just doesn't like working.
Yeah.
Who does? It's especially yeah, manual labor.
But the first episode alone, like, was brilliant. Like they talk about the fact that like the dungeons, because obviously they used to be, you know, they're dungeons, they're full of creatures. Basically, the deeper you go each floor, the better the rewards, like the better the quantity, the consistency of like the ore and stuff, but stronger the monsters. So he recommends doing like a prospecting tour, which is basically to like go deeper into the dungeon and potentially find new, you know, sources of income. And when he offers to do it, they're like, all right, yeah, go for it. But it turns out he stumbled across a shortcut to the third floor. So he's just like, I'm going to get one person and we're just going to milk it. We're going to profit from this. It's going to be great. Then a dragon turns up.
Yeah. Reem.
And basically tries to eat him and his companion. And he makes a deal basically being like, hey, if you protect us so we can mine, we'll get you the best food. She agrees, turns into a humanoid, and then ends up basically stacking up such a big food bill that he's making a loss.
But he then finds her toilet where she poops out magic things, right? And then he finds like a sphincter, I guess you could say it is. Sphincter is the wrong word, isn't it?
Scepter.
I'm talking about assholes, everyone. So he finds this scepter and it basically like mind washes people. And after a while, he's like, I need this to be stronger. So he gets a little dragon girl to like make it stronger and she just smashes it. And he's there giving like an empowering speech about how everyone's just sheep and they bend to his will and they're all like that. No. You die.
I'm not sure if we're supposed to like him. By the end of the first episode, that was what I wrote. I'm not sure if we're supposed to like him. By the end of the third episode, I'm still not convinced we're supposed to like him. He doesn't even have the charisma of Dick Dastardly.
I was under the impression that he's supposed to become like he's going to learn his lesson about how his workers in the real world are basically being, he was treating them like he's now being treated. But I don't actually know. I assume that'd be the case because any other character that could be the protagonist would be the, I can't remember his name. You know who I mean, though.
The lizard guy.
Yeah, the lizard guy. He doesn't really have it in him to be a protagonist. I couldn't see him being a main character. So,
wannabe, the lizard. They are basically the HR department. They're like the voice of HR being like, hey, maybe you should like give these, you know, you're kind of brainwashing them. Maybe you should give them a day off. And he's like, nah, make them work harder. Like, you know, great. Obviously, it all backfires. But no, I think I get the impression it's either going to go the route of he'll like start to realize and like maybe work out of it. But part of me kind of hopes he doesn't. I kind of hope he just keeps being a jerk. And it's not because that kind of person's great. Like, it's not like that kind of person's horrible. But at least we've seen, from what we've seen, it keeps backfiring on him anyway. I just think it's funny.
I couldn't help but notice we didn't see another human until the third episode. And then it's this reincarnated hero. I mean, we don't get much more information other than she's the reincarnated hero. Whatever that means. And she's strong.
I didn't like most of the characters in it, to be fair. I thought they were all entertaining in their own way. Reem is obviously number one. I'm sure we can all agree.
Reem is up there for contender of best girl of the season.
All she does is eat food. I can relate to that a lot. I like people who eat food. I've got a lot of respect for people who just want to do nothing and eat food. Because all these complex characters, that's the one I find relatable. People who do nothing and eat, because that's what I do.
Also, slight side note. I decided to actually watch this, the first three episodes of this in the dub, the English dub, because why not? And I just want to, I didn't go back and watch the sub version, so I apologize if this is just for the dub, but the script for Reem is so good. And like, obviously dubs, they tend to change a few bits and pieces to make the jokes more like local and you know, the whole point of localization. But there's literally a bit where Reem's just like, I'm hangry, give me food. And I was like, that's perfect.
Yes. The dub and the sub are pretty much the same. Because I also watched it dubbed because I wanted to see. Well, it was another isekai and I couldn't be asked to just put all my effort into watching it and listening to it. So I watched it dubbed, but I also watched it subbed because I wanted to see how different they were. And they were pretty much word for word. So there you go.
I watched the sub, in case anyone wondered.
Definitely better. The sub is better. Like the voice acting and stuff is better. Like the dub isn't great. Actually, I don't think the dub's that bad, to be fair. The main character has like the perfect, just obnoxious voice. Like, I don't know how they've managed to do it, but it's genuinely perfect. And the rest are all right.
How many episodes is this again?
This is only 12 episodes.
Okay, well, it's is moving at a good clip, at least. The first episode, he's mining. The second episode, he's going around having to refill treasure chests. Third episode, he's been promoted to a different department completely, and he's got his own machinations in motion. It's funny. There's some genuinely laugh out loud moments, but I'm not too sure about the art style. The backgrounds and the settings, they look absolutely fantastic, but the characters and the animation, something off about it. It doesn't look great to me.
Yeah, it looks a bit cheap, doesn't it? Characters, like it looks like if you told me that they'd spent loads of time doing the backgrounds of each scene and forgot to do the characters each time, I'd because like the quality, like the genuinely, like the character art, the quality of it is genuinely different depending on the quality of the scene in the background. So like when you get like a really detailed background scene, the characters genuinely look worse. So it's almost like they did the background like, oh shit, yeah, the characters, and you put them in here.
So not that, because I do actually, I get what you mean. I didn't really have too much of an issue with the visuals. It was kind of stylized a little bit. I quite liked it. However, this is like, at the time of recording, this is the fourth show that Silverlink have airing this year. And it's currently, and of those four, three of them are currently airing in the summer season. And they've got another, according to my anime list, four shows to air this year.
No wonder they're forgetting to do the characters.
Jesus. That's a lot of hard work.
Of course, this is just a speculating, but, you know, it could have been by choice to animate that the show in a particular way. Again, though, I don't think it looks bad by any stretch of the means, but there's definitely, like, there are moments you're a bit like, that seems a bit off.
No, I don't think it looks bad. Like Ace says, I think the background art, most of it saves it.
It really stood out when they were turned into ants.
Oh god, yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Especially compared to the queen ant, who looked like she'd had all the time in the world set on it. And then all these generic little black blobs, and you were like, oh, poor little ants.
Something actually I've literally just had this thought. I feel like this show, this is maybe a strange comparison, so forgive me if it is, but I feel like it's trying to be like Konosuba. Konosuba, for anyone who hasn't watched it, is basically a parody isekai. Like, it's a comedy show, but it's an isekai. But like, one of the running gags is that it's not like other isekais. Nothing doesn't work in the MC's favor. And I feel like this is maybe trying to have a similar kind of vein to it, in that like, it's not maybe a parody, but like, they're just trying to focus on the fact that, like, how stupid all the situations are and how the world is, you know, rather than giving us an overpowered MC. Because, like, because again, it's not even listed as an isekai. I've added that because I think it's worth just calling these things out. But the fact that, like, he doesn't get any power that we're aware of. He just literally just goes, boop, you're in another world now.
He gets the power of crippling debt, which is one of the most relatable powers.
Which was by his own choice because he took out two loans.
Yeah, but I feel like the point of the show is that, like, it is, like you say, it's a parody, and he's just kind of forgotten how to act. Like, he had everything. Now he's got nothing, and he literally can't do anything to get everything back, because that's how the real world works.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but it's got less, just on the subject of animation, it's got less static / scenery shots than some of the other shows we've seen this season so far.
It's not very reliant on the isekai aspect, to be fair. Like, it doesn't feel like an isekai when you're watching it. And I think that's a compliment. Because, like, I think the problem with so many isekais is that they struggle to, like, break away from that. Like, you watch it and you're constantly reminded that that's what it is. And this one doesn't really do that.
No, now and then, like, in the third episode, he talks about how he's going to become the ultimate neat in across worlds, I think is his exact phrase. But other than that, it's not like he's complaining, oh, it wasn't like this back at home, or he's just making the most of his situation.
He's trying to figure out how to turn it around, because I'm assuming that's how it worked. Like, that's what happened when he was at home. Like, he had nothing and he built an empire of some kind. And I assume that's where it's come from. Like, he doesn't feel too downbeat about it because he's done it before. But again, it's an assumption because I haven't seen the whole thing. But
yeah, I don't really have much else to say on it, to be honest with you. So I'm going to use that as a segue to jump to our, as we always do, based on the first three episodes, is it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh? What about you, Ace?
It's a meh from me. I just can't get on with the protagonist being so unlikable because he's just a jerk. And as I say, he's not even as charismatic as Dick Dastardly, who is also a jerk, but you kind of root for him in Wacky Races and Dick Dastardly's Flying Machines or whatever it was called.
No one roots for Dick Dastardly in Wacky Races.
I did.
You're both mental.
What are you, Rhodes?
It's a meh for me, which may as well be a thumbs up when I'm talking about Isekai's, to be honest with you. It's okay. Like I say, it does a very good job of standing out, especially when you've watched so many of them. Like, holy shit. Like, it does a good job of not being like the rest. But it's still an Isekai. It's still there. And it's hard, when I watch it and it's been different, it's hard for me to see how it will actually stand out in the end. Like, what it's actually going to do long-term over the story to stick out. But I think it's enjoyable. I think if you like the kind of shows, you'll like this. I think if you don't like them, you probably will be able to get through it. Like, I think I'll probably stick with it because I do think it is relatively funny and it is relatively quick-paced. There's no, lingering on, the time jump bit or anything like that. So I think there's something there for people to enjoy, even if they like the genre or not. But I do also think it's the kind of show where I can watch all 12 episodes and it could very easily become a thumbs up, but it could just as easily become a thumbs down.
No, I'm kind of in the same boat, though, to be honest with you. And kind of a point you made earlier about the dub, just because it's another isekai. To be honest with you, that's kind of, I suppose, why I did it. It's just it's an easy, because I went in expecting it to be a full on isekai. I was like, oh, you know what? We'll just kind of half pay attention, but I ended up fully watching it, and I'm going to stick with the dub because I think it's kind of an easygoing thing. But like you said, it could easily become a thumbs up or thumbs down based on how it continues. But I think on the first four episodes, it is going to be a meh for me. I did like the first episode, but yeah, Ace again makes a good point. Character is kind of a jerk. I think that's funny, but it depends. If he ends up if it finishes up and he is actually in the position he wants to be, and he got there by just being a jerk, then I kind of want to see him either change or get his comeuppance, so to speak.
Yeah, I hope the lizard man gets everything.
Oh, the lizard dude, Wanabi is just so wholesome. I love them. And obviously, Rim is best girl. I think that'll do it for today's episode. As always, we'll give our final scores in the end of season episode, so do look forward to that. Thank you very much, Ace and Rhodes, for joining me. And as always, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Pals Anime Lounge. If you like the show, then why not subscribe on Stitcher or Spotify? You can also enjoy the video versions of each episode on YouTube. Just search for the Pals Anime Lounge to find them. And as always, we release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time, so check back to wherever you're listening to this one to catch the next one.